Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the People's Church. If you're here for the first time, a massive welcome to you. Great to have my friend Mick on the second row this morning. Mick often helps me when I'm out on the road installing sound systems and stuff. You hear what, sorry? Your beauty. And he's been a huge support to us, so great to have friends pop in from time to time. Had a wonderful conversation with Pastor C last Sunday evening. Pastor C is one of our missions supports that we support out in Zimbabwe. And I was talking to him about some of the things that he's doing already and the amazing work that he's on with. And then I talked to him about some of his challenges. And these are some of the things that he told me. He told me about a lady whose husband had recently left her with twins and other children, and now had no place to live. And his immediate response as a pastor and as a missionary that we support was that we'd like to build something as part of where our land is with the church so that we can look after this family. He talked to us about a car that we were able to buy before I was the pastor, so I've got no idea about this incident, but we blessed them with a car, and this car now needs some maintenance issues. And he talked to me about the need for water in Zimbabwe at the moment, the real need that they have there, and his desire to drill a hole to find water, and then that they would be able to supply the local community with water. So I just wanted to bring that to you because let's make sure as a church that we're not just financially supporting them, but we're praying for them. And they've got our whole weight behind them, believing God for all of these things. And let's just believe that in the weeks that lie ahead, we'll be able to do more than we've ever done before to support this wonderful man. I also want to kind of highlight this morning that we've got the Operation Christmas Child boxes for you to take home with you today. Samar and I were talking about these on the way up in the car this morning, and we were listening to another church in the States as we were driving here, and they're doing this weekend also. And I said to Samar, let's take two boxes today and give them to our girls so that they can go and fill them for someone less fortunate than them. So how about you take a box with you today, and then we'll coordinate how we get it to a drop-off point here if you'd like to bring those back with you next week. Well, this week I had the privilege of going to a conference in London. And the conference, I'd booked it long before I knew that I was coming year back at the start of the year. It's a conference with an organization called ROC, Redeeming Our Communities. And Deborah Green is a phenomenal lady who has done thousands of ROC conversations up and down the country, where she pulls together statutory bodies, charities, schools, whoever's willing to come along that wants to see some change in a community. And they all work together. And there's some phenomenal projects running up and down the country that there's potential for us for the future. But one of the things that God said to me a few weeks ago was expect surprises. Expect surprises. And as I arrived at the conference center on Wednesday this week, I went through the doors and I looked like that. And I kind of carried on, and I stopped and I looked back, and there was Archbishop Justin Welby stood in front of me. It was a surprise because I wasn't quite expecting to bump into the bishops. And in fact, I then went off to the loo, and the bishop was in the loo with me, and I felt extremely uncomfortable. But I wonder what else he's got planned for me this year, if that's one of the surprises maybe that he's going to do. But this morning we continue our series on being the church. And we've been in this series for a few weeks, looking at these verses in Acts. And allow me just to start with a question for you. Are we so fixed on our plans that we miss out on the plan and the purpose of God? Can I just say to all of you this morning that your plans are minuscule. Minuscule in the eyes of God. You may have dreamed some amazing things and seen some amazing things, but in the mind of God, It is just a patch of what he has for you. Just a small portion of what we have for you. And at the outset of this meeting this morning, I just felt to encourage you that we mustn't live in this minuscule world of what we feel is our plans. But we must live in what the plans and the purposes of God is. And Dave went there last week in his message about us believing, because he's begun a good work in all of us. But it says in Proverbs 16:9, it says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. So let's make plans. It's good to have a plan. To not have a plan is foolishness. But to make sure that the Lord is determining where we're going. But we read these verses in Acts 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Let me just read that, because that's where we're going to stay this morning. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Everyone was filled with awe at the many signs and wonders performed by the apostles. These guys had been in the presence of Jesus, and now they were doing the stuff that they saw Jesus do. And this is our commission this morning. This is the commission for the church this morning. We can choose to be a spectator on the side and not participate, or we can decide to dive right in and be a part of it. And I've split my message down into two parts this morning, and we'll see where we get to. We might not even get to the second part. And I guess the second part determines what God is going to do in the room between you and me this morning. And what I want to say to you right now is there'll be opportunities for us to stop and listen, but just be attuned to what God is saying to you this morning. Because I believe that God wants to do something in us this morning through you. He wants to do something in us this morning through you. This morning we can see miracles. This morning we can see words of encouragement, prophecy. All of these things come out of this place. If we just stop, if we just listen, and we just take his word. Everyone, it says, was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions and gave to everyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They brought bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those being saved. And these are just some of our expectations and some of the things that we believe that God has put in our heart for what he is calling us to be. He is calling us to be a church that is devoted to him, devoted to the Bible, devoted to being together in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and devoted to prayer. We believe that he's called us to be a church that is together, that we stand together and we believe together and we believe with one another with all of the challenges that we face. A church that is so full of the presence of God and his power, where we see his signs and his wonders, not just weekly, monthly, yearly, but we begin to see them day after day after day after day. A church that's so generous, it's effective, and every need is met. I want to thank you for your generosity, because every need has been met. But I'm believing in this coming days that we're going to see a multiplication. We're going to see multiplication in numbers. We're going to see multiplication in our finances. We're going to see multiplication in our missions. We're going to see multiplications in some of the projects that we run and some of the projects that we support around the city. But we need God to help us financially to be able to do all of that. But I do believe that he said to us that he will multiply this coming year. A church that continues to reach out and see lost people found. A family who belong, I've put you, a family who belong before they believe. You know, sometimes we expect people to come in all perfect, dressed perfect, their lives all sorted, that they're a believer, and then once they believe, they can belong. I believe we've had it wrong for a long time. I believe people should come, they should belong first. They should feel the love, the care, the generosity of the people. And out of that, they will believe because they will see the Father in you as we demonstrate who he is. Believe him for people to come messed up with all of their lives, just not together, but people whose lives will be changed and transformed by the power of God himself. And a church that continues to grow. I said it a number of weeks ago, but Samar and I, a couple of days or maybe a week or so before we were due to start year, we drove past here and Samar said to me, that place is too small. And I want to remind us this morning, the place is too small. There'll always be a work here. I have no desire to knock it down and build a bigger facility here, but we are going to grow. And we are going to go out from year and see multiplication out of year. And it's why we're investing in people like Matt and people like Dave, because we believe in our future. We believe that we're going to see many people come and join us in these weeks and months that lie ahead that are going to go out and plant out from us, that we'll see communities around this city changed and transformed. We're limited in our growth here. Even if we did 10 services a Sunday, please, Jesus. Oh. But we will grow. We will grow. The Message paraphrase puts it like this. Everyone around them was in awe. All those wonders, the signs done through the apostles. Signs and wonders through who? Signs and wonders through the apostles. Wasn't the special people, wasn't just the call people, it's us. We are his disciples and we are called to see these things in our day-to-day life. Marge and Dave were telling us about their carpet fitter this week. We prayed for them on Tuesday. We don't pray just because we're offering tokenism. We pray because there was need. And we pray because we come to a God who is able to meet all of those needs. But we need to be braver. How about when we're walking down the street? How about when we're in the supermarket? How about when we're talking to the next door neighbor and the Spirit just nudges you and says, will you? Will you just say something about me? Will you pray for them for that situation? Not just, oh, please, Jesus, bless Betty and make her well. Will you really pray and believe God to come and do a miracle as we stand together? Because they were in awe, they were in wonder. And I think we've missed something so long as a church of Jesus Christ that it was never meant to be just a periodic thing that we saw. We should see his power at work in our lives every single day. And we don't do it to bring us glory. We do it to point the people to him. We want people to discover who he is. We want people to discover how great he is. And there's disappointments in the room. There's disappointments in the room because we've believed God. We've prayed. We've said our prayers. And I simply don't have the answers for you. But it must not stop us believing God again. It must not stop us believing God again. I wonder how many times the apostles prayed for people and maybe they didn't see God come through for them. But let's never stop. Let's keep believing God for greater and greater things. So let me give you some practical steps before we all have an opportunity to put this to practice this morning. The first thing that we must be aware of is that we must be aware of the Holy Spirit's power. Can I say to you this morning, without him, we are done. we're useless. It's not about us. We have no special powers in our lives to do anything. But with him, says this in Ephesians, now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. We come to the Father through the Holy Spirit because of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Jesus on the cross. We must be aware of the Holy Spirit's power. The whisper, the nudge, the thing that he's saying to you. To step out in boldness and to do the things that he is asking you to do. And he's promised us already to never leave us nor forsake us. And if that promise is true, that we can believe that when we step out, when we take that step of faith and we just move into what he's asking us to do, we can be assured that he is with us. We need to acknowledge his presence. Do you know that God's really here right now? He's with you by his Spirit right here, right now. Why not just invite him right now just to speak to you, to talk to you, to give you that nudge? Oh God. It says in his word, for where two or three are gathered as my followers, I'm there among them. God is with us now. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak to your children. Embrace your children. Lavishly pour out your love on your children. Lord, would you provide for your children? He is here. I believe he's going to empower us, embolden us to take steps of faith this morning and into our week. There's some people in this room where God has done something in your life that you've never, ever shared that story with someone. And I don't know why that might be, whether it's shame or whatever it might be. But God's going to begin to bring people across your path that when you share your story, is going to bring life to their situations. It's going to bring light to their situations. He wants us to share our story. We read it in Mark's gospel not too long ago as Jesus was getting into the boat. The man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him, and Jesus did not let him go. Go home to your own people, he said. Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you. He wants us to go home. In fact, he wants us to go here this morning. And he wants us to tell the people how much the Lord has done
for you. Your story.
You know, some of you in the room may think, well, my story to some of the stories is insignificant, feels fairly normal. Can I just say the miracle of what Jesus has done in your life is profound. It's profound. He saved us. He rescued us. He made a way for us to enter into his presence. And it says year again. And all the people, when he went, were amazed. All the people were amazed because he began to tell them about what Jesus has done. And as we begin to share our stories, as Marge and Dave share it with the carpet fitter, as we share it with our neighbours, as we share it with the people that come in through our doors here week in, week out, not just on a Sunday, but through our midweek gatherings, our kids groups, our youth groups. And we are seeing God do some amazing things. Sometimes it's slow, sometimes it's not as we expect him to. But God is working. The next practical thing that I've put here is that we must use our spiritual gifts and we must value God's anointing. God's anointing rests on each of us. His power is available to you and to me. In 1 Corinthians 14, we read these words. What then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or three at most should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. Two or three prophets should speak, and others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who's sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of prophets, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregation of the Lord's people. You may have heard me say a few times, God's not finished with any of us yet. I don't care how old you are. You may have challenges, health challenges, other challenges. He's not finished with you yet. It may look different to how it did when you were 20 or 30, but he's not finished with you. But never limit God. Not sure whether I told the story, but there was a man in our church in Leicester called Mike Howitt. Mike was 84, I think, and he began to speak to us as a leadership of hitchhiking to South Africa. He did it. I'll show you the video one day. Phenomenal. Hit national news, you may have seen it on the ITV, probably about 10, maybe 8 years ago. Phenomenal. And he did it in aid of his wife. But God's not finished with you yet. Age is no barrier. Time is no barrier. But we all must find the gift that God has given us. So let me ask you the question this morning. What gifts has God given you? And let me say this to you. We must not function only in gift, but we must seek his anointing. I know some phenomenally gifted people. But without him, we truly are nothing.
So we're going to obey. I'm going to invite Rhys to come just to play some keys for us. Thank you for serving this morning, my friend. But we're going to obey the Spirit's leading this morning in this place. And we're just going to believe together for God to do some amazing things over these next few moments that we've got together. I want to say this to you. These next few moments may come easy for some and harder for others. Sometimes when I'm amongst friends and family, I find moving in my gift easier than I do when I'm amongst strangers. I know we've got some visitors in the room this morning, but we have family. And I want to say this morning, because I want to release all of you to begin to move in the gifts of the Spirit and to bring encouragement and prophecy and just the word of God into the situation or into our future or whatever he says. But I want to say this to you. The next few moments are reliant on me and you stepping out. Stepping out of our chair, stepping off the stage, moving to wherever God says you're to go to and stepping out. It's reliant on us stepping out and saying things even though we're unsure of what he said. To step out. We may get it wrong. Can I just encourage us all to be filled with grace? And everything that's said, the scripture tells us to weigh it up and to, you know, there's things that have been spoken over my life over many years that some of the things that I'm still waiting to see pass. Some things may not have been from God and some things may have just been man. But with breath in my lungs, I'm going to believe until the day I die. It's the worst that can happen. We can get it wrong this morning. But let me encourage you with this verse in John 5:19. Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. He is our Father. We are his children. And he wants to use you, and he wants to use me this morning. So let's just sit. Reese is going to just play. Sit in his presence. Listen. Can I just encourage you not to use this time to share a testimony or share something of what God has done in you, but to use this time to speak into something else. To take our eyes off maybe the situations that we find ourselves in. And to ask him to speak to us for others, that we might bring him glory. Let's just sit and listen for a moment.